The Pakistani government has decided to permanently cut off NATO's supply route for its Afghanistan war effort after U.S. airstrikes killed over 24 Pakistani soldiers near the border over the weekend. It is not yet clear what the move will do to the American war effort. Nearly half of all war supplies for the almost 100,000 U.S. troops in Afghanistan go through Pakistan. The U.S.'s South Asian ally has also given U.S. troops a two-week deadline to vacate a base used by the CIA to launch unmanned drone strikes in the northwest frontier province. A third potential casualty of the attacks is Pakistan's threat to suspend its role in talks between the U.S., Afghanistan, the Taliban, and Pakistani militant groups. The U.S. strikes in question were aimed at two Pakistani observation posts in the Mohmand tribal area. NATO is claiming that the weekend's fatalities were caused by a response to a shot from the Pakistani border bases, but Pakistani officials denied those claims, saying that the U.S. attack was unprovoked and that their military installations were clearly marked. The Los Angeles Times reported that, quote, Pakistan's army spokesman, Major General Athar Abbas, said the Pakistani military tried to alert coalition forces that their gunships were firing on Pakistani army posts, but the attack continued. The deaths of the soldiers have touched off a nerve among the Pakistani public, who have become increasingly skeptical of their nation's relationship with the U.S. Pakistan's leading English-language newspaper, The Daily Times, editorialized that, quote, U.S. and NATO forces have routinely made it a matter of policy to do as they please and then apologize and move on. Pakistani officials have tallied more than 70 Pakistani troop casualties as a result of U.S. strikes over the past 3 years, but civilian casualties of the strikes are even greater in number. White House spokesman Jay Carney on Monday called the attacks a tragedy and pledged an investigation. My guest is Fred Branfman. He is an independent journalist and author of over a dozen articles on the dangers to U.S. security posed by the U.S.'s actions in Pakistan. His work regularly appears in Alternate, Truthdig, and Salon, and he now joins us from Budapest. Welcome to Uprising, Fred.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, do you look at what this, what these attacks have done to U.S.-Pakistani relations as sort of the nail in the coffin of U.S.-Pakistan ties?
Not at this point. The Pakistani military still needs its $2 billion a year from the United States. So I wouldn't say that this is the end. And, you know, last time they suspended, they stopped the trucks going into Afghanistan for a couple of weeks, and then they started them up again. So I wouldn't say it's a nail in the coffin at this point in the very short term. But I do think that the present U.S. policy towards Pakistan is endangering United States national security. And that unless we stop, we may get some nuclear nails in the coffin over the next decade.
Well, certainly Pakistan is a nuclear power, but there's an issue of the U.S.'s relationship with the Pakistani government and the military. And then there is the public sentiment in Pakistan. And sometimes the Pakistani leadership echoes that public sentiment because, of course, they want to remain in power. But secret cables that were leaked by WikiLeaks recently showed that the Army Chief of Pakistan, Ashfaq Pervez Kayani, not only agreed to the U.S. drone flights, but he actually requested for the Americans to increase them in 2008. And publicly, of course, they decry the effects of these attacks. Is the Pakistani leadership playing both sides of this war?
Well, I think they're playing a triple game. I mean, they want the money. They want the Taliban to win in Afghanistan. They're just hedging their bets. I have nothing good to say about the Pakistani military. I think, you know, they have to be there the rest of their lives, and if the Taliban win, they want to be on the side of the Taliban. But I don't think that's the issue for the United States. I think the question for the United States is very simple. Number one, should we be in Afghanistan? I don't think we should. I think it's the greatest foreign policy mistake of my lifetime to waste $1 trillion in Pakistan at the very time that the Chinese are spending $1 trillion to dominate the clean energy economy of the future. However, even if you want to be, if you think the United States should be in Afghanistan, and don't forget now, we've been fighting there 10 years, and the violence is up, not down. But even if you think we should be there, Afghanistan is a country of 30 million people. Pakistan is a country of 180 million people with nuclear bombs. I believe the single biggest mistake we're making right now is to extend the war into Pakistan to try and win in tiny Afghanistan. This is insane. We should be doing everything possible not to be doing any warfare in Pakistan for several reasons. First of all, there's a growing likelihood of a military coup in Pakistan. It's been openly discussed on the front page of the New York Times, which would be a disaster for U.S. foreign policy to have an anti-U.S. government take over in Pakistan, which is always a possibility, particularly if China decides to give them the aid that they're now getting from the United States. Secondly, and most importantly, and I'm glad you mentioned the WikiLeaks cables, in there it was revealed that our own ambassador is terrified that nuclear materials is going to fall into the hands of terrorists from Pakistan's nuclear stockpile, which is the world's fastest growing and the world's least secure nuclear stockpile. This is a very serious matter, and actually the public opinion and the behavior of the Pakistani military and government are related when you get to nuclear weapons. What our former ambassador Ann Patterson said in the WikiLeaks cables was, the government is refusing to cooperate with us on safeguarding their nuclear weapons because the public hates us so much, and that is, hates the United States so much, that they would believe if the government started to cooperate that the U.S. wanted to steal Pakistan's nuclear weapons. So public opinion, this is according to our own ambassador, so public opinion in Pakistan is extremely important. And what is the public opinion in Pakistan? 69% of the Pakistani people, that's 125 million human beings, regard the United States as their enemy. This is a Pew poll from about 6 months ago. Now, think about that. I mean, if there was another 9-1-1 in this country, obviously the most likely place it would come from would either be from people within Pakistan who hate us, or let's say Pakistanis in London. David Cameron said a few years ago, again we know from WikiLeaks, he said that Pakistanis in London and in Great Britain have been radicalized by the United States invasion of Iraq. Pakistanis in Great Britain have, British passports, many of them. These are very serious issues, and our leaders don't have a clue. I mean, American leaders are making, in my opinion, the biggest mistake of our lifetime to be waging war in Pakistan. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, what do you think the impact of Pakistan's decision to boycott the upcoming Bonn conference will be? This is the conference that's to be held on the 10th anniversary of a conference held in the same place, Bonn, Germany, after the U.S. Defeated the Taliban when it first, just a few months after it launched its war in Afghanistan. But this time around, there was to be participation by Pakistan, which was at least, on the in looking at it simplistically, was an important aspect given Pakistan's role in supporting the Taliban over the years. If Pakistan is going to back off from this conference, can it have a greater impact on the stability of Afghanistan and the future of the U.S. role in Afghanistan? Could it lengthen the U.S.'s war there?
Well, I hate to be cynical, but I've never seen these conferences accomplish anything. I think the more important matter is that this will increase sentiment within Pakistan for supporting the Taliban. It increases support within Pakistan for attacking Karzai's government. Don't forget, it was the Afghani. These are CIA units run by Americans with local Afghanis that called in the airstrikes on the Pakistani airbase. And all it will do is help the Taliban. The conference itself, it's hard for me to take them seriously. I think basically everybody's waiting. I mean, the people out there are waiting till 2014. They're waiting for the U.S. to leave. And then the Taliban, of course, would at that point hope to take power. And the Pakistani government is going, well, look, we've got to live with these people for the rest of time. Therefore, we want to continue to support them. I don't think it's our business, actually. I mean, I think the thing to remember is the justification for both the war in Afghanistan and the war in Pakistan is a U.S. war making in Pakistan is to defeat al-Qaeda so they won't attack the United States. Well, as you know, last week, the CIA and the Pentagon announced there's only two al-Qaeda people left, El-Zawahiri and a few, and one other, you know, in terms of leadership.
Right.
They've accomplished their supposed goal. But in the course of defeating al-Qaeda, which was never more than, you know, maybe 1,000 people, they've created tens of thousands of new potential suicide bombers within Pakistan, people who would like nothing better than to kill Americans because we've killed so many of them with our drone strikes. We've killed 2,500 Pakistanis with our drone strikes officially, of whom they can only name 56 as either Taliban or al-Qaeda leaders.
And
90% of the,
And when you talk about the militant groups within Pakistan, are you referring to the Haqqani network and the group that's referred to often as the Pakistani Taliban?
Well, that's one of the groups that they keep building up. But there's dozens of anti-government forces within Pakistan. The Haqqani network is the one that's best known. But the point is, they don't know who they're killing. They can only name 56 people. They've killed thousands of people on the grounds that they were near some Taliban training camp or whatever. We the public, are not allowed to know what the criteria are for who they're bombing, but we do know that they can't name who they are, and we do know that a number of human rights groups have found that we've murdered hundreds and hundreds of civilians, including dozens and dozens of children, with these drone strikes. Now, again, I believe this is criminal, personally. I don't think we have any right to be killing unarmed suspects without giving them any right to defend themselves on the grounds that they're militants when we can't even name who they are. But that aside, the theme of my article is this is very bad for U.S. national security. It is not protecting us to kill under, let's call them, 100 militants, and the cost of that is to make hundreds of thousands of people hate us within Pakistan. In my opinion, it's endangering national security. I mean, ask yourself, if there was another 911, as I've said, where's the most likely place it's going to come from? Obviously, Pakistan. We can't possibly kill more people than we're creating. For every time we kill one of these people, we create 10 new people who want to kill us. It's absolutely the most irrational policy I've ever seen.
Well, Fred Branfman, I want to thank you very much for joining us today and sharing your insight and analysis with us.
Well, thank you.
Fred Branfman is an independent journalist and author of over a dozen articles on the dangers to U.S. security posed by the U.S.'s actions in Pakistan. His work regularly appears on Alternet, Truthdig, and Salon. He spoke with us from Budapest.